waiting for Russia to take action in the Ukraine, waiting for the January 6th investigation to bear fruit, waiting for Biden to show some leadership on student debt. Seems like we're doing a lot of waiting this week. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton, freelance journalist and one of the two hosts of this podcast. Find us each and every week, except for the next two, at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine was literally anticipating an invasion yesterday. I've seen people in Ukraine posting online anticipating basically Russian soldiers in the streets. Now mixed reports as to whether or not Russia is withdrawing troops, with Russia playing down those fears of a possible invasion as Western propaganda. Ed, what's going on?
Well, it's hard to say what's going on because the propaganda they're sending shows troops pulling out and turning north in big convoys. But then from the air, you see troops coming in from the west, east rather, in large numbers. It seems like they're adding to their numbers while they say they're pulling out. Tactically, it makes no sense to try to make a ground attack when you have a situation like melting snow. And tractors and things are already spinning their wheels. So I think they're trying to get this to the point where they actually have a real deal. Now, apparently they've got some deal on the missile pullback. And there's some other piece of the deal on the Ukraine that they want of joining NATO. And I suspect that is putting some ice on it for a while. But I would anticipate in the next week, this will be over. I think by the Russians doing this and putting their propaganda out, they're telling Russian mothers, your boys are safe. And you certainly don't want to go against the mothers in something like this. So I don't anticipate any combat.
Yeah, I mean, I think this confusion is exactly what Vladimir Putin wants, of course. And it's interesting to see the Ukrainian president, Vladimir Zelensky, he's also sort of downplaying the invasion. But of course, his concern is invasion or not. He doesn't want to see panic. He doesn't want to see chaos on the streets.
No, he can see enough of that here or in Washington.
Well, back in Washington, filling a seat on the Supreme Court, Biden has been deep diving on nominees, which, you know, as per his campaign promise, will be black and female. What's happening, Ed?
Well, apparently he has a lot of good nominees. But you really can't trust the Republicans. One set of Republicans, they say they're for one, and another say they're for another one. I think he has to come out with somebody who's so cool and so middle of the road, who can't be attacked from the left or the right. And no matter who it is, they're going to be better than what we have.
I suspect the Republicans will say, well, at this late stage in Biden's presidency, we can't let him
decide. Yeah. He only has 3 years to go. Yeah.
Look, before we get into this week's political performances, I wanted to touch on this one. You've talked about quite a bit in the past. Families of nine of the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre have reached a $73 million settlement with Remington Arms, the now bankrupt manufacturer of the Bushmaster rifle used in the attack. Ed, this is a landmark agreement, but you've been saying for a while, if you want action on gun control, we need to see more of this.
This is what's going to happen. And this agreement is opening the door, just like with the cigarettes. We are not going to be able to do this constitutionally. The only way to do it is do what's going on now. These suits, including Prince Andrew, are being settled with very high numbers. The NRA is bankrupt from these suits. So I think this is the way to go. You take the T teeth out of the tiger.
And where to start for this week? Let's start for January 6th with January 6th and the investigation there this week. The committee now looking at disgraced former mayor of New York, masked singer contestant, and thoroughly degraded Trump lackey Rudy Giuliani, with expectations Giuliani will submit to interviews, deposition, or quite possibly testify. Ed, what's going on?
I think he will testify to most of the stuff he knows everybody knows, to see if we can get a little bit of leniency on the sentences he's going to face and on the lawsuits he's going to face. As bad as losing, he's acting, I think there's some kernel of decency in him that he wants to preserve his family's name, and he doesn't want his kids to go hungry. So I think this is it. His back is against the wall. Doing the Mark Meadows will not help him because he doesn't have the Republican Party behind him. He doesn't have Trump behind him. The only thing he has behind him or in front of him is a long prison sentence.
Donald Trump, Ed, you might remember a famous gangster by the name of Al Capone. He was a bootlegger, a murderer, and he had deep ties in political corruption. But how did they get him? Tax evasion. Trump's been abandoned by his accounting firm after years of keeping his taxes under wraps as his legal woes worsen. What's your take?
Well, I think this is going to be one of those racketeering charges. It's not just evading taxes, but all the stuff around deflating the value of his properties, doing this across state lines and international lines. I think he's in for the racketeering charge. The interesting thing about racketeering, you have to only show a pattern of activities. You don't have to prove every one of them. And that's how Capone and the other guys went down. It was a pattern of activities. Al Capone never said, go shoot somebody. But the people turned up dead. And the same thing's true for Trump. Trump is obviously nervous. He says he's going to give clemency to people. He says, get ready because they're going to come after me and I want all my troops in the street. He's scared now. And if he doesn't go on the diet, we might scare him to death.
Yeah, look, Trump is scared, I think, and there's a real possibility he could end up behind bars. But at the same time, even from prison, I can see him being a martyr to many of his followers. Now, I look at the other side of the coin, and I just wonder, what is Biden doing at the moment? I mean, I know... I think anybody listening to this podcast knows Republicans are basically on the verge of fascism and, the Democrats are probably the way to go. But one of the politicians I have a lot of time for, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has said this week Biden needs to cancel student debt if he's going to have any chance in the midterms, and that his inaction, or certainly perceived inaction, has already discouraged a lot of voters. What is Biden doing, Ed?
Yeah, this is one that, we said this before Biden even took office. The thing to do is cancel student debt. We said if Trump did this. And we both know this debt is held by people, real citizens who put their money in the debt kitty. But if you cancel the debt, the government just pays it. And since we have a big credit card, why not do it? I just don't see where Biden can go because the second half of his promise is dead. So this is one of the few things that he can really do and do it fast.
Yeah, because this is it. As you were saying, before the election, we spoke about this before the election, before Biden was ever elected, it's not good enough to just be not Trump. You actually need to do something for people.
Yeah, you do.
You've said jobs. I mean, jobs have been kind of looking on the up under Biden. I mean, they're improving, I believe, on an established trend. But with inflation, I've seen a lot of people saying their money isn't going as far. I mean, just the weekly shop, it's costing people more and more, and that's what people feel. Not the numbers that are reflected in the newspaper, but that reminder week after week after week. Where is he on the inflation issue?
Well, inflation is going to cap itself off in the next couple of months because the supply lines are getting better. What we have to watch out is OPEC and oil. Oil prices are going up and OPEC is restraining them now. The cheap oil we're getting during the pandemic and was before is OPEC didn't want the world's economies to collapse. But now they want payback, just like landlords do. And they're the landlords of oil. Furthermore, the OPEC guys are frightened of several things. The climate change agenda is frightening to the OPEC guys. Fusion, which has now been discovered to work, and it may be 15 years away, but that's a short amount of time where you have absolutely almost free energy. And you replace our existing plants with fusion plants and things, Russia, everybody. The world order that we know is the oil order from our whole lives. Second World War was determined by oil, oil supply lines. Everything we know about, aircraft and so forth, oil. That may change. And if it does, then maybe we have something that's quite different from inflation. We have deflation. So I think this is one to look out for. But the inflation numbers, while they're going up, the core inflation rate has really slowed. The stuff that's outside of oil and ordinary household goods has really slowed.
And look, I'm sorry to circle back to Trump, but touching on a couple of holdovers, I guess you might say, from the Trump era. News this week that the Trump-China trade deal was a complete failure. A provision in the deal meant to benefit American manufacturers said China had to buy an extra $200 billion of American-made goods. Now, journalist Chad Brown this week, he crunched the numbers and found China bought absolutely none of that additional $200 billion of exports.
Oh, is that so?
Where are we sort of on the U.S. and China with trade?
China is not in good shape. This pandemic has really slowed their production, slowed their supply lines and like. They want to move, like any manufacturing nation, to better, high order, artificial intelligence and all that. But your old system has to be working. And the thing that's stopping it from working is workers. China has a big shortage of workers, particularly skilled workers. The pandemic has really hurt them in that area. So I think where we are with China is China is playing ball, softball now, until they get their economy back. So now's the time to push China around a little bit to get some of the things we want and need. But to do that, you have to have a lot of strength among your allies and in your own country, and it's not there.
And another holdover, North Korea. Much was made of Trump's negotiations with North Korea, but towards the end of his term, it was pretty well established those negotiations had fallen flat. What's been happening lately?
Well, lately what's happening is they fired off another missile. Scary. Mm. And their atomic production is going full scale. Now, the unfortunate things is the North Korean people are starving. Their communities are falling apart. So somebody, and hopefully the Chinese, will say, if you'll start acting right, we'll give you some food.
And couple more things. Across the pond, Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, has settled his...
ex-Duke of York. The former Duke of York.
The prince formerly known as Duke. He's settled his infamous sexual assault allegations by America, Virginia Giuffre, with an out-of-court agreement, which is estimated at around $10 million, which is a lot of teddy bears. This is all, of course, in connection with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Thoughts on this one, Ed?
Well, the $10 million is what she will get after all her costs are paid. Add another five to that. Being a lawyer, I know how that works. Mm-hmm. So I think how he's going to scrape together $15 million. Maybe there's some property in England he can sell or something like that.
I believe there was a ski chalet mentioned.
Okay. You're not going there on your honeymoon, are you?
Thankfully
not. You might have a lot of stuff for sale at this point.
I'm not a big fan of the cold.
Okay. Either am I. That's why we live here in Australia. But and this will not be paid in one lump sum. You can be sure it's going to be paid over time, both for her tax consequences and to ease his pocketbook. But the royal family is close to decline. And so the queen is doing the right thing. She's allowing Cornelia to call herself queen if she becomes queen, or when she becomes queen. She's trying to preserve the royal family. It's not, they haven't got a lot out there now to preserve the system. And so they have to wait. Harry's out. So there's only one person really in line. And he seems to have a good family. And Miss Middleton seems to be a good wife. So they got to hold this thing together until then. With Brexit not working, the English have the royal family to cling to. But if they undress the king, they'll find he has no clothes. So this is going to be a close one. Maintaining a monarchy in these days is going to be very, very hard. She's taking the right steps. And maybe it's a good thing that Andrew did this, because it really exposes the fact that the notion of royalty is costly, with much, much for the average guy, except sensational news every once in a while.
And just finally, Ed, Super Bowl 2022 was decided 2023 in favor of the Los Angeles Rams, who beat the Cincinnati Bengals. What's the feeling on this one?
Well, my side was eliminated in the semifinals, the San Francisco 49ers. But since there was another East Coast team, the Rams, my brother lives in Los Angeles, and I do like the side, I thought this is the best 3 weeks of American football I have ever seen. Every match was decided in the last minute. Now, maybe this is where they're going to do in the future. Script this all up before the season, and then have it play out at the end of the season to bring back viewers. It's obscene the kind of money they're making, billions, on basically telling young men you can have your head bashed in and a short life. Somehow, it missed me. My life is long, but my head, as you can tell, has been bashed a good deal. But, you know, football, I think, is very close to cricket. If you have a taste for it, you understand all of its intricacies. If you don't, you never understand it, and you don't want to. But I think this was a good show. And this will allow the show to go on.
Well, Ed, the show will go on for us as well in another couple of weeks. We'll be off for a couple of weeks, but we will be back again to talk all the latest.
Well, you're calling Putin, and I'm calling Biden and putting it on hold.
Yeah, let's just keep it breezy for the next couple of weeks, guys.
Yes, of course. Take care, mate.
Take care.
And have a good time.
Ed and I will be taking a break over the next couple of weeks while I myself am on my honeymoon. But you can find all the good stuff at US of Ed, all of our previous chats and specials at US of Ed, and you can check us out as well on Facebook and Twitter. If you're feeling generous, maybe drop us a review or share with a friend.